Thank you. I thought all of the songs were very fitting for today, that we're called to offer praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because this is the day the Lord has made, and we will sing our hallelujahs. And so a powerful time of worship and prayer. Thank you. Thank you. The scripture today is a little long. Mark tells a story. Oftentimes in the book of Mark, it's a story within a story. And in seminary, it was called a Markan sandwich. And so you can't have half a sandwich. You got to have the whole enchilada. No. So I'm going to sing, not sing, but read all 23 verses. Oh, lands, no, not sing. And because there is a message for us here today. And so please follow along and listen as the Spirit speaks to us through his holy word. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they thoroughly washed their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" And then he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you might have from me is korban,' that is, an offering unto God, then you no longer permit doing anything for father or mother, thus making it void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on, and you do many things like this." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defiled." When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and goes out into the sewer?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "It is what comes out of a person that defiles, for it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So that's the scripture for today. And I know that it is a lot, but basically Jesus is taking a truth and confronting the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he takes what they are guilty of doing and goes into great detail about it and showing what is really important, and then he uses it as a teaching moment. And that's what we're going to glean from that today. And so I want to begin by asking you a question, and that is, which would you rather prefer for a next door neighbor? Would you rather your next door neighbor be a person of excellent habits and good character, or would you rather them be a person of good heart? Which would you rather have? Or which would you rather prefer as far as a friend or your spouse or even your children? Do you want them to be people and creatures of habits that have morals and values, or would you rather them be people of a good heart? Which is it? Because it is wonderful to have a neighbor who is conscientious and cares for their own property while respecting yours. And it is wonderful to have a friend who takes you into consideration. And it's even better to be married to a spouse who is thoughtful and courteous and kind. And it's wonderful to have children who show respect and use their manners. Those are all important things. But as wonderful as each of these are, none of these compare to having a neighbor or a spouse or a friend or a child who has a good heart. Because when you are discussing the behavior of a person, you're discussing the quality of that person's self-control as the result of a good heart. But when you are discussing a good heart, you are discussing the quality of that person. And a good heart can only come from Jesus Christ himself. Okay? And so that is the focus of today's scripture. The Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law had come down from Jerusalem and they were watching. And they came and they gathered around Jesus and they were watching the disciples. But they really wasn't watching. They wanted to learn. They were watching, hoping to be able to trap Jesus. And the disciples have come in and they're eating lunch. They have had a hard day's work. They're hungry. They're tired. And they probably never even entered their heads of whether their hands and face were clean. And so they sat down and they began to eat their lunch without washing. And the Pharisees and the scribes decided to seize that ceremonial oversight. And they say to Jesus, "Well, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders and clean their hands before they eat?" Can you hear it? Well, this is all Jesus needed to hear, to have that done. And he stands up for the disciples, and he pretty much tells it like it is. And he turns to the teachers, and he says, "Why don't you live according to the traditions of God and clean your hearts?" Whoa, pretty powerful statement. But I think it needed to be said, don't you? So what mistake did the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law make here? What is Jesus trying to convey not only to them in that moment, but also to us this morning? What is the warning that Jesus is trying to say to us? First of all, Jesus is warning us not to prefer creeds over deeds, which is the title of this sermon. In other words, what you speak better line up with your actions. Jesus prefers for our life to line up according to his word and to not get so caught up in rule keeping. It's kind of like the story of the Queen Victoria. She had a diplomatic reception in London, and the guest of honor was an African chieftain. And the meal went well, clear right up until the time that the finger bowls were brought out. Do you know what finger bowls are? Yeah, you're nodding your head, yes. And the guest of honor had never been to a meal like this in British territory. And when they brought the finger bowls out, no one saw fit to tell him the purpose of it. And so when they came out, he took the bowl in both hands and he brought it up to his mouth and he drank every drop in that finger bowl. And for an instant, you could hear the guests and getting silent, and then they began to whisper among themselves until the queen herself silently picked up the finger bowl and put it to her lips and drank every drop. And then the 500 men and women who were there picked up their finger bowls and put it to their mouths and drank every drop. You see, it was against the rules to drink from that finger bowl. But on that particular evening, Queen Victoria changed the rules. After all, she's the queen. I guess she could do, you know, pretty much what she wants. But she was offering a saving grace for her guest. Okay? And it was against the rules not to wash your hands before you eat, according to the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law. And they confronted the disciples who were following Jesus. But Jesus quickly recognizes their hypocrisy. And he confronts them with scripture. He is quoting the book of Isaiah. And he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Whoa. Our tradition should not kill our compassion. We shouldn't be so caught up in following the rules and sidestepping of being filled with God's love and loving our neighbor and being compassionate. When people are in need, we should set aside our rules and act with a compassionate heart. Why? Because God prefers good deeds over deeds. And he prefers love over law and good hearts over habits. But we should also be careful, because Jesus isn't saying that we do away with the creeds. After all, I talked to you about the Nicene Creed, the Apostle Creed's historical documents, very important, establishing the non-negotiables of what we do not compromise on. And Jesus admonishes the rulers. He says, "You have a fine way of setting aside the of God in order to observe your own traditions." And he said, "The greatest creed of all," and he was quoting from the Ten Commandments of honoring your father and your mother. And he says, "You have set aside this commandment so that you can observe your own man-made law or rule." And see, that's what was going on there. These were man-made laws, these cleanliness laws that were being observed. Our first priority is to God. We are to be devoted to God. But the Pharisees had taken it too far, and their devotion was getting in the way of what God was calling them to do. And that was what was happening there. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law had made this rule. And that rule was called korban, which was in our scripture that we read about. And basically what it meant was that if you brought a gift and devoted it to God, you were bound to that gift no matter what. And it would be kind of like if you had made a pledge to give money to the church during a stewardship campaign, and then all of a sudden your parents fell on hard times, and there was a tragedy that occurred, and they were in need of financial help, and you withheld that financial help because of your commitment that you had made, the gift that you had given to God. And that is basically what was being said here. Which is greater, to honor and to help your parents who are in need, or try to stick to a pledge? Yes, promises are important, but you have to weigh out what is the most important that is at hand. And the Pharisees got into trouble because they used their korban, their rule-keeping, to make bondage for people. And they locked the people's gifts into place even when trouble and crisis occurred. And that's not love. Love goes above the law. And so we don't need to be so concerned about our habits and our rituals as we do about doing the loving thing. And so if your creed is standing in the way of your good deeds, then maybe you need to examine your creed. So that's Jesus' first warning, is to not put creed above deeds. But secondly, Jesus is warning us not to look at the outside habits, but rather to look at the inside of the motive of our hearts. What is the motive of our hearts? Because it's interesting that the Pharisees and the scribes, it says that they had traveled from Jerusalem to Galilee. That is a 60-mile journey, okay? So they definitely had a purpose of why they were wanting to be there. They sent a delegation there, but it wasn't so that they could drink a spot of tea, okay? It was because they were there to observe, and their presence was very unwelcomed because they were not on a fact-finding mission, but they were on a fault-finding mission. They were looking for any reason in the world trip Jesus up and to have him executed. And so they focused on minor infractions. And the disciples are faulted for not performing their ritual of washing their hands before they ate, which was considered an unclean act. And so you have to look at what does unclean mean? When you first look at it, you think, well, it has to do with washing the dirt off of your hands. But this isn't about being clean physically and washing off dirt and germs before you eat. That's not what's going on here. What this means is it had to do with religious purity, because they thought that the normal activities of the day, the everyday circumstances in your everyday life, they thought that it made you impure and unclean before God. Therefore, they thought by pouring the water over your hands, it would wash away all of your defilement. Okay? So that's the bottom line of what's going on there. And no amount of water on your hands, on this outside physical body, is going to change and wash away defilement that is in your heart. Because evil inside the heart can only be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ is the one that shapes and forms what is going on in our heart. The evil that took place in the Midland, Odessa area took place because there was evil in that man's heart. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can change that. It's not a matter of controlling things in the physical realm on the outside. It has to do with issues and matters of the heart. And it was perfect timing of the light of Christ being brought in. It is the light that we carry out into the dark world that makes a difference. It's not controlling things on the outside. It has to do with what is going on the inside. And so that's what was going on when the Pharisees confronted Jesus' disciples, and then Jesus turned and confronted the Pharisees. And so the question for us to ponder is this: can outside rituals make us inside saints? Do outside rituals make us saints on the inside? We have two sacraments in the church, baptism and Holy Communion. Unless the Holy Spirit is present in both, it could only be a ritual. But don't get me wrong, they're very powerful. It's all symbolic of a covenant that we have with God. And baptism is washing away of what has taken place on the inside. It's symbolic for the outside. And the same with Holy Communion. But outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't expect your heart to change. Is the Holy Spirit present in baptism and Holy Communion? You betcha, because we pray that and we ask for that. But that is a very vital, important part, and that has to be included. It's not just going through the routine, okay, and calling it good. It is about relationship. It is not about rule keeping. It's kind of like the young man who went to the rabbi, and he told the rabbi, he said, "Rabbi, I want to be a great rabbi like you. I want to be a rabbi." It was wintertime when he went in to visit with him, and the great rabbi was standing in front of a window, and he was looking out the window in the courtyard, and snow had been falling. And while he was looking out in the courtyard, this young man was bragging on and on of how he would be a great rabbi because he had wonderful piety and knowledge. And he went on and he said, "Rabbi, I always go and I'm dressed in white to represent my spotlessness. I never drink any alcohol beverages, and only water ever passes my lips. And I live in a plain and simple life. And oh, I have sharp nails in my shoes to remind me and to mortify me. And in the coldest weather, I lie naked in the salt and the snow to torment my flesh. And daily I receive my 40 lashes on my bare back to complete each day's penance." Can you hear that? Of the rule keeping, and he's just going on and on. "I do all this, and that's what's going to make me a good rabbi." And as the young man spoke, a white horse was led into the courtyard and over to a watering trough, and he drank from it. And when he finished drinking the water, then he laid down and rolled in the snow, as the horses sometimes do. And the rabbi said this to the young man: "Just look, That animal too is dressed in white. He also drinks nothing but water. He has nails in his shoes and he rolls in the snow naked. And rest assured, he gets his daily ration of 40 lashes on his rump from his master. So I ask you, is it a horse or is it a saint? You have ears to hear. Listen. Do clean hands make for a clean heart? And to answer this, Jesus called the crowds around him. He called the teachers and the rulers of the law, the Pharisees, and he begins to teach. He seizes a teaching moment. And he says, nothing outside of a person can make them unclean by going into them, but rather it's what comes out of a person that makes them unclean. Dirty hands do not make for a dirty heart. It's from within, not from without. It is greed, not the grungy dirt that's on your skin, okay? It's the greed in your heart. It is the malice, not the money. It is deceit and not the dust. It is the arrogance and not the alcohol that makes us unclean, okay? It is the evil that is in the person's heart, not the gun that did the shooting. Do you see the difference? It has to do with what is in your heart. There has to be a heart change. You can control with rules and regulations and laws all day long, but you cannot legislate morality. It only comes from Jesus Christ in changing our heart. Amen. All of the evils that Jesus lists come from the inside of us. That's what makes us unclean. And God is interested in good hearts and not good habits. You can try to control your environment all you want and make people try to line up in their little role and to live right, but it is a heart issue. Those are the two things that you need to take from this, and that is, do not put creed above deeds, and it's what's inside that corrupts. It's not from the outside. But the third thing is, you got to look at it a little closer at the text and to think about it so that you can notice it. He's letting us know that God requires good hearts, but also good deeds. But Jesus is also saying that God requires good creeds. When you first look at this, you think that Jesus is condemning ritualistic religion, but he's not. Because rituals are good. If pouring water over our hands to remove dirt reminds us that on a daily basis our hearts need to be washed and cleansed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, then that's good. If it reminds us to practice generosity and kindness and to be peaceful and not to be rude, then that's good. But if we think that simply pouring water over our hands is going to do it, then that's not good. It's a relationship. Traditions are a good thing, and every church has them. And in the Methodist Church, we have the tradition of saying the Apostles' Creed, and it's spoken around the world. But does memorizing the Apostles' Creed make us a saint? Does knowing it from heart and saying it every Sunday make us good people? It is an excellent tool for witnessing, but do you really behave as if you believe what you spoke out of your mouth? I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord. Basically, it's going through the Trinity. Do you believe in the Trinity? It says that you believe in community, the communion of saints. Do you? Why do you sometimes not want to be in community then? It says, I believe in the resurrection. Do you believe in the resurrection? Does your actions reflect the fact that you believe in the resurrection? It says that you believe in eternity, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Does your life reflect that you really do believe that? See, that's the purpose of the creed, is to see what you're saying that you believe. Does your life reflect that? Because if you try to line your life up with what you say you believe, I guarantee you, you're going to live differently. And the problem is that we say we believe all of this, but our actions don't show it. So creeds are good. They just don't need to go above and beyond of what God has called us to do. When it comes to faith, love, and life, the question is this: are our hearts in it, Or do we simply just have our fingers in the water bowl? And that's a question only that you can answer. Because God requires deeds above creeds, love rather than law, and hearts, pure hearts, honest hearts, holy hearts, and not habits. It all has to do with heart issues. And if you want to know if there's anything in your heart that's not pleasing to God, ask him. I guarantee you, he'll show you. He'll show you when you least expect it. And so we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. And yes, it's symbolic of all that I have just talked about. But if you truly believe in it, that you're here to meet Christ in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the juice, then it can become a holy moment for you. And so as we go through this communion liturgy together and get your hymn book and turn to page, you truly pay attention to words. We can ritualistically go through this, and it can be meaningless. But this truly is a holy time. It's not a time to talk. It's not a time to be moving around. It's not a time to be looking at your neighbor. It is a time, this is covenant. It is a time to remember. And it's going to ask us some hard questions. Are you living your life according to this covenant that you have made with God and with one another? And so please join me in a time of Holy Communion. And when you receive, you will have this opportunity to be at the rail and to pray and to get things. For some reason, my microphone is just shortening in and out, and I apologize. I don't know why. Hear the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. Do you love him? Who earnestly repent of their sin. Are you earnest? Are you repenting from your sin? And seek to live in peace with one another. Boy, that's really key. Are you living at peace, or do you have a grudge or unforgiveness? Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Please join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us new covenant by the water and the Spirit. And on the night in which Jesus gave himself up, he took the bread, and he gave thanks. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you eat this bread. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, And he gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood, the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And as often as you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. Are you living a holy life? Are you being a living sacrifice to others? In union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Now that one's hard to live up to. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is an open table, and all are welcome to come. I'm going to ask Mike to come, and he and I will serve you communion. We'll be right down here in the center. You come and receive by intiction, which means receive the bread, dip it in the cup, and then you're welcome to kneel at these rails as long as you desire. As I said, this is a holy time. It is not a time to talk. It is a time to reflect and to meditate and to be respectful until the end of the service.
Is defeated, the king is I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Appropriate. We need these words of encouragement. And wouldn't our world be a better place instead of raising hell, we raised hallelujah? Amen. So let's raise a hallelujah unto the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so go forth from this place with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sing a hallelujah.
Sing a little louder.
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 Sing a little. in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah. Joby, I need you to flip a switch for me. I need you to flip a switch for me. The switch on the right of the soundboard. The only switch. Yep. Thank you. That wasn't it. Nope, that wasn't the right switch. No. On the right on the wall. Silver. Box. Wonder what else you hit. Yeah, what did you hit before that? The one underneath, it's like orange? Oh, okay. All right.